Today's shir is Masech Techul and Daf Kuf Chav Hey. We will begin Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach and Daf Kuf Chav Dalad Amid Be'ez, the last words on the Amid, the new Mishnah. Says the Mishnah, Kulis HaMeis. The Kulis is the thigh bone of a mace. And the reason the Mishnah speaks specifically about the Kulis is because the Mishnah is focusing on a bone that has marrow in it. And teaches us the Mishnah, Kulis HaMeis, if you have this bone, this thigh bone that has marrow in it from a mace, the Kulis HaMekdashim, or you have a carbon that became noiser or pigle, that Chazal made a gzera that somebody who touches such a bone, he becomes tamei, his hands become tamei. And as the Gemara Masech the Pesachim, Daf Kuf Chof, teaches us that Chazal made a gzera on a carbon that's pigle or noiser, that it should be tamei, because Chazal felt that carbon kohanim would intentionally perhaps make a carbon pigle in order to hurt the people who brought the carbon, because as we so very well know, if you bring a carbon, it becomes pigle, it becomes pasul, and they're going to get out of having to pay for the damage that they just did, because the halacha is, if a kohen makes a carbon pigle, if he does so b'mezid, he's responsible to pay. But if he doesn't do so b'mezid, he does so b'shogig, he's not responsible to pay. So they were concerned that they would deliberately make a carbon pigle and then say that they did so b'shogig, and therefore they would be able to take advantage and damage the people who brought that carbon. So Chazal, and the same by Neusser, Chazal were concerned that people would live over from their carbon, and they therefore said that if the carbon was left over, it is nice and will become pigle. That would encourage people to eat their carbon in a timely fashion. The reason Chazal did so is because Chazal knew that the people in those times, even though we're speaking about people who did the wrong thing, these are people who left over nicer, these are people who made a carbon pigle. There was a greater concern in those times, apparently, for tumah than there was for other averis. And that's why Chazal knew that the way they're going to be able to prevent people from making pigle or leaving nicer is making a gzer of tumah. The loch is hanegei behem. Somebody touches that kulis hameis or the kulis pigle of nicer. Bein stumim, both in the case that we just identified, where it's completely closed, the marrow is completely within the bone. Bein the kumim, if they have a hole, and therefore you could touch the marrow that's in the bone, tamei. The reason is because the loch is that a bone that is the size of kesoira, of a mace, is metamba b'maga u'b'masa. And when we speak about kulis hamekdashim, even though it's only the meat that becomes nicer, the halacha is that since the bone serves the marrow, so that's why, as we've been learning so extensively in our Masechta, when you have something that serves something else, yad shomer, the halacha will be that it becomes tamei. This tumah is the tumah is what's that the aloch is that it's the kulis hameis and the kulis hamekdashim is also not just tumah b'maga, but it's also tumah b'masa. Continues the Mishnah, kulis nevela with kulis sheretz. If you have the kulis of a nevela or you have the kulis of a sheretz, hanegei bem stumim, if you touch them when they're completely closed from all sides, and you can't touch what is inside, then the halacha is tayrim. They're not tamei b'maga and not tamei b'matzah, because the bone itself here is not metama. But the only reason it would be metama is because the marrow inside. The halacha here is that they're not going to give off tuma. And the reason is that even though, as we just said a moment ago, the kulis is a shomer of what's inside, and we've been learning throughout our perek that touching a shomer makes you tamei. The halacha is that a shomer can give off tuma, only can import, export tuma to combine to have the shear of tuma for tuma obeik of tumas oichlim, is only in a case where you can access the actual source of the tuma, which is the marrow. And therefore, in these cases, by tumas nevela and tumas sheretz, their halacha will be, since you can't access, as we just explained, we're speaking about a case where it's completely covered, that's why they don't give off tumah. Tosfos says, what's going to be the halacha when you have a fruit that has a peel around it, and the peel obviously covers the entire fruit. Says Tosfos that the Torah is saying, Kol zera zirua asher yizora, something that a pasuk that we quoted often at the beginning of the Masechta. That pasuk teaches us that when we look at these things, that these things are the peel of a fruit. Since the fruit, the wheat we learned, are planted when the peel is on it, so the peel of a fruit and the peel of a vegetable is different than the bone, where you can't access the marrow. That you can't access the marrow that's inside. Kalshu, but says the Mishnah, the Kuvim Kalshu, if they have even the most minimal hole, even the size that you could just put a hair into that hole, so now you can access the marrow, and therefore the halacha will be that's metama. Apamatzah, how do we know that a bone of nevela that's metama b'masa, tamaloima, the pasuk says on the gable of Vasa Yitmar Arif, and then the pasuk says on the noises of Vasa Yitmar Be'egav Tomei, a Shabal Chla Maga Bolachal Masa. If there's a situation that could have Tumas Maga, then it could have Tumas Masa. Veshaloi Bolachal Maga, and when you can't have Tumas Maga, Loi Bolachal Masa. And since, says the Mishnah, by Kulas Nevela, that Stuma, as we just finished, that if it's completely enclosed and you can't access the marrow, there's no tumas maga. Teaches us the Mishnah that there won't be tumas masa at all. So our Mishnah has been speaking about the kulis, and as I said, the kulis is something that is a thigh bone. The Gemara at the beginning of the Perek say that the word yitma, that the Torah says, Hanagei ben devosu yitma erev, says the Gemara that there's a halacha of a shomer, but as we've been learning in our Mishnah now, that halacha only applies where you could actually touch the marrow inside. If you can't touch the marrow inside, then you won't be tamei. It says the Gemara later in our Perek on Daf Kuf Chavav that Rav Zeira asked Abaya, says the Gemara, why a whole dead animal which is not cut off for skin or skin gives off tumas nevela? In that case also, if you have a whole nevela covered by its hide, it's not efsha liga. And Abaya answered that the meat of a nevela is considered accessible even when the animal is whole and unskinned, because there are many openings in the hide through which one could touch the meat. The Gemara then quotes of Oishi, who says that even if the bone is sealed, it could still transmit truma if the owner plans to break or puncture the bone, because intent to open the bone is sufficient to consider the marrow accessible. The words of the Gemara are mechus and akiva, just missing making the whole laugh, k'mechus and maisa. Interestingly, the Rambam writes this halacha, and he discusses that the question is, if somebody intends to make the hole, the Rambam calls him that tamei mesafik. And the question, the Kesa Mishnah asks, based on what we just quoted Rabbi Oishi is saying, it should be vadei tuma. To answer this question, the Leiv Arya and the Teres Yaakov say that the Rambam learns from Rabbi Zeira and Abaye's exchange that they don't accept what Rabbi Oishi says. And therefore, if indeed the halacha were that just intending to make a hole is enough to make it tumas that it should be considered like it's open. So then Abaye should have said that the reason an unskinned carcass gives tumah is because the owner certainly eventually plans to skin it and cut it. Since Abaye did not give this answer, says the Rambam, it's not so clear that Abaye accepts what Rabbi Yishiyah says, that intent to make a hole is sufficient. And therefore, the Rambam said he's not sure if Efshaliga is enough, and therefore, since he's not sure that Efshaliga is not enough, that's why he says it's not Tamei Vadai, like Rabbi Yishiyah would say, he says it's Tamei Masafik. Amish is speaking about the status of a kulis as far as Tumas Magen, Tumas Masam. The Ratfaz has a very interesting discussion about mummies, where mummies were brought. He says the way they used to make a mummy is that the mummy was completely treated in various chemicals, and then after it was left in various chemicals, it becomes completely dry, brittle, hard. And the question is a mummy considered tuma? Especially the question is a kohen allowed to come into contact with the mummy? And the Mishnah Melech discusses this question as well. And he says that because the bones of the mummy have absolutely nothing in them, and the halacha, maybe they should, they're so dried out, the halacha is maybe it should not be considered a tumah. And it seems that the Mishnah Melech says that maybe as far as our sugya is concerned, there might be a difference when it's dry and there's marrow inside the bone and there's no marrow inside the bone. But as we've learned, and we're going to learn in Mitzvah Shem, the halacha, however, is that there's mole tarvid rekev, that if you have a mace and you have the dust of the mace that was reduced to dust, the halacha is that then at that point, there will be mole tarvid rekev as tamei. And therefore, he suggests that a mummy is no worse than a mole tarvid rekev, and therefore he says that coming in contact with a mummy would create tumah. Our Mishnah began by telling us that kezayis of a mace, we know is matamba b'maga, by touching it, b'masa, by carrying it, b'oil, being in the same room, under the same roof as a kezayis boss of a mace. The bone of a mace is matamba b'maga b'masa, but it's not matamba b'oil. The question now is, how will we discuss, what will be the halacha of a kulis? And the Gemara makes the point that our Mishnah teaches us the negeya in, that if you touch the kulis under certain circumstances, you will be tamei. Ava mal, if you're going to that mal, then you won't be tamei. So Tarsus asks, how does the Gemara reach this conclusion? Because the Mishnah didn't say mal. So he says, if you look at the Mishnah, and we made this point, the Mishnah doesn't mention Masa either. So he says that that's not a raya, because Masa wasn't necessary to be said, because even the slightest amount of a bone of a mace is metamba b'masa. But an oil should have been mentioned, and therefore, even though in not all of the cases of the Mishnah does the tumas oil, the case of the Mishnah where the Mishnah spoke about the bones of Mukudoshim are not, there's no Tumas oil, but the Mishnah, at least when it spoke about Tumas mace, should have mentioned that. And therefore, why did the Mishnah not mention oil? Teres Chaim, working together what we know in the Mishnah, he says there's no question that somebody touches a kulis of a mace as Tumay. And there's no question also that there's Tumas Masa, because our Mishnah has taught us that Tumas Masa and Tumas Maga travel together. But the question that is, Tumas oil doesn't always apply. So the Taras Chaim says what the Gemara is saying is, the fact that the Mishnah did not mention Tumas oil is an indication that there is no Tumas oil in our Mishnah. When we speak about Tumas oil, there are a number of ways of having Tumas oil. One is that the person is an oil over the mace. Another case is that the mace is an oil over the person. And the third case is, like we said, where the person and the mace are in the same room. if the oil, if there's an oil on top of the mace, if there's a roof on top of the person, then under certain circumstances, and this is going to be a very big part of a shear, under certain circumstances, the roof on top of the mace will serve as a mechitza, as a separation, that somebody who's on top of that won't be tamei. And sometimes the halacha will be that the mace permeates, penetrates above all the way up pekas va'oila, it goes all the way up ad l'shamayim. So says the Gemara, what is the case of oil that you wanted the Mishnah to mention that wasn't? Hey chidami, idik kazayis basar, if indeed we're speaking about on the bone that's a kazayis basar, so then the halacha is boil nami litma, there should be tumas oil. So must be that the Mishnah is speaking about a case, the lekka kazayis basar, that there is no kazayis basar. Ask the Gemara, furthermore, vidika kazayis mayach b'befnim, it was speaking about a case where there's some marrow, a kazayis of marrow in the bone, the tumma b'kaz for oila, and the halach is that the tumma of a mace goes up ad shamayim. If there is no chalal tefach, if there is no separation, empty space of a tefach, then the halach is that it goes up ad shamayim. So it is, and that's no, and here that's normally the case. So then, if that's the case, boil nami litma, that there is, so there should be tumas oil. Says the Gemara, it's speaking about a case, the lekem kazai smak b'fnim, and therefore there is no tumma, there is no tumma going all the way up. The question is, how do we know if there is or isn't a kazai sposer in the coolest? We're speaking about a coolest that's covered, that's enclosed. How do we know what's doing inside? So the Yaivitz explains that in the coolest of an old mace, that the mayach, the marrow inside dried up, then the halacha is that we could assume that there's no kazayis of a mace at all. Or another answer that I saw is that sometimes we'll have a coolest that isn't a kazayis big altogether. If the coolest is not a kazayis big altogether, so obviously it can't have a kazayis mace, and it can't have a kazayis of mayach inside. Furthermore, vi mayach b'befnim malach arucha, now the Gemara speaks about another situation. If after the Mishnah established that the bone of our Mishnah, after the Gemara established that the bone of our Mishnah doesn't have a kazayis of basar on top of it, nor a kazayis of mayach inside, but the question is, if the marrow that's inside the bone, a person, Rahman Slan, who has a bone that has marrow in it, the marrow inside the bone can regenerate meat outside the bone. So therefore, if that's the case, if there is, even if there's a case, the bone, the marrow will create that there's going to be meat outside. And if that's the case, then Eva Malyahu, even the bone that doesn't have any marrow in it currently, should be considered a full-fledged aver. And therefore, since it's considered a full-fledged aver, boil nami litma, there should be tumas oil. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei Chia, Zois Ameris, Mayach b'fnim, Eina Mal Mar b'chutz. Even the fact that the Mishnah is teaching us that there is no tumas mayo, that the halacha is that that mayach inside doesn't make meat generate on the outside, and therefore there's no tumas oil. So says the Gemara. So we've explained the Mishnah, but mayakumta, after all of this back and forth, we've explained that the Mishnah is speaking about a case, the lekka kazayis, that there's no kazayis mayach inside the bone. Ask the Gemara, if that's the way we're learning the Mishnah, Yaakov and Megdashim, why is the halacha by the when we spoke about Megdashim, that it's nicer, and the Chazal made a gzeira, that the nicer is tamei, may metama. If there's no kazayis of a mace here, then there's no nicer here, because the shear of nicer is a kazayis. Vesu. Furthermore, the Mishnah said that the Mishnah differentiated by kulis nevela v'kulis sheretz. if there is a, if there mace, if the mayach is exposed, if there's a hole, or it's not exposed. But ask the Gemara, ki nikfu, even if there's a hole, a mayim matamu, we always have to have a kazayis. Answers the Gemara to answer these questions. Olo kasha. This is the way to resolve these questions. Reisha, the lucky kazayis, the reisha that says that there's no tumas oil by the bone that's closed up, is talking about where there's no kazayis or mace inside the bone. And Sefer, the next case of the Mishnah, by the bone of Mekudoshim, the bone of Veil of Sheretz, we're going to speak about a case, the Iki Kazayis. And says the Gemara, my Kamashmon, and what is the way to learn the Mishnah? Mila Mila Kamashmon. The Mishnah is teaching us different dinim by each case. By the case of a mace, the Mishnah wants to tell us that if it doesn't have kazayis, there's no tumas oil. But the sheretz, the Mishnah is coming to teach us different shiurim. And the Gemara explains itself. Reish Kamashmalon, the Reish is coming to teach us, the Mark Bifnim, if there is marrow inside the bone, that will make the bone be considered like an aver of a mace, because ein amal arucha b'mechutz, it doesn't make that the bone should be considered an aver because it could regenerate basar on the outside. And therefore, if the bone is completely closed, there's not going to be, whether there is marrow in the bone or there isn't marrow on the bone, that's not going to be a case of tumas oil. Mekudoshim. Then the Mishnah teaches us the halacha of Mekudoshim. What does the Mishnah want to teach us with the halacha of Mekudoshim? My Kamashlon, Shimush Noiser Milsahu, that something that is used for Noiser is treated like Noiser itself. As we explained when we began learning the Mishnah, that Chazal made a gzera that Noiser should be Matamas Yadayim, that was made in order that people should not Chas V'Sholem make Noiser. And therefore, the Mishnah is teaching us not only when you touch the Noiser itself does a person become Tamei, but even if you touch a bone of Noiser, a closed bone of Noiser, you also be Tamei. Kerama Mari Baravu Amar Yitzchak, Atzomas Kedoshim Shishim Shinoiser, Metam Sidaim. The bones that were bones of an ever carbon that became Noiser, a Metam Yadayim. Why? Since that these bones were the bones on which the meat sat on, that's why it's enough to make them into have the din of nice as far as tum is concerned. The Mishnah teaches us the halacha of nevela to teach us davgav dike kazayis. Even if you have a nevela bone that has in it a kazayis of moich inside, the halacha will be nikve in only if it has a hole, and therefore the moich is something that we could access. Then it's metama loy nikva. If it doesn't have a hole, loy. Says the Gemara. Then the Mishnah gives us another halach. Then the Gemara gives us another explanation why a kulas hameis is not metama b'oil. Abay Omer, says the Gemara, Abay teaches us loy lemayach b'mifneim mal arucha. The mayach that's inside the mace can cause that there will be basar on the outside. And therefore, the halacha should be that there should be tumas oil. But what is the case of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah is speaking about a case which is shofar. When you scrape down this bone, there the halacha will be that the moyach inside the bone cannot generate basar on the outside. Ukad Rabbi Lazar, Dabar Rabbi Lazar, kulish shofar la'arka. If you scrape down a bone, the halacha is tmeya. If you left over a strip of meat that you didn't scrape down, then the halacha is that it'll give off tuma. Because you have a straight line of meat, you have a straight line of unscraped bone, and that straight line of unscraped bone will be able to generate meat around it. However, if that scraping was done l'rochva, if it was done around the circumference of that bone, tahira, because you don't have any space, you don't have a straight line of unscraped bone, because you made the scraping around the entire bone. Since you scraped around the entire bone, it will not be able to regenerate. The simonach, and says the Gemara, the way to know this halacha is dikla, by a tree. If you're going to take off if you're going to scrape off around the tree and if, around the whole circumference of a tree, the bark of the tree, that tree will never be able to regenerate. However, because they have a whole circumference of nothing, nowhere that they could be regenerating. But if you do it just in a straight line, then the reality will be, since there's a spot that wasn't scraped, that could be regenerated. Rabbi Yochanan has a different way of explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah is speaking about a case that there is kazayis. And the reason why the kulas amase is not metama ba'oil, because of the moich that's inside. Because moich b'mefnim, if the marrow is inside, malach arucha b'chutz. And therefore, the halacha is that it should give off tumas moil. The Mishnah speaks about tumas maga, and as we started the piece of Gemara, indicating that there is no tumas oil. Says the Gemara, says Rabbi Yochanan, when the Mishnah mentioned the word Mai Negeya Diktani, when the Mishnah used the word Negeya, the halacha is that it's actually also going to have Tumas oil. You ask the Gemara, if that's the case, if you, Rabbi Yochanan, are telling us that that's the halacha, so then the halacha is Kulas Nevel V'Kulas Asheretz, that was saying if they have a hole are they tar. But if they don't have a hole and the marrow is not accessible, then they're not tar. Why? Kilay nikva may tarim. Why should that be the halacha? The halacha should be that the mace, the mayach, the marrow and the bone, that's mala rucha b'chutz, should make them tamei. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, but to which the Gemara answers, Amar ben Yamin by Gidl Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Hachemai Skinen, the way to understand the Mishnah, Kigayin Dikki Kazayis Moyach HaMaskashish. The Moyach that's inside this bone is dried out. And therefore, the halacha is, it's not going to be Mala Rucha, it won't make flesh on the outside. And the Gemara explains itself. Gabi Meis, even though when we speak about the Kulsa Meis and the Moyach inside dried up, the halach is it's still going to be tumim b'tumas oil because tumim b'kas for oil. That since between the moyach and the bone there is no tefach, so even though there's never going to be basar on the outside of the smace, why won't there be basar outside the smace? As we just finished explaining, because the moyach inside is dried out, and the moyach that's inside that's dried out will not generate basar on the outside. But the mayach that's inside the bone is like a mace that's buried. And as long as we said earlier, there is no tefach between the mace and what's on top of it, then the tumah goes all the way up. Nevela, but when we talk about tumas nevela, as we just said, kivin the miskashishu, that the mayach inside is completely dried out, and therefore the halacha is the bone cannot be considered like an aver. Why? Because that mace, that bone will not generate basar on the outside. And therefore the halacha is, nikvein, when you have direct access to that mayach, el bitamei, loy nikva, but if you don't have direct access to that mayach, loy. Says the Gemara, Amar of Oven, Vitem Reb Yosef by Oven, af anan namitinina. There's a Mishnah, in Masech the Olos, that teaches us, because Reb Yochanan just taught us a very big chiddush. Rabbi Yochanan says that when the Mishnah uses the word, and this is going to be a big subject of what we discuss now, Rabbi Yochanan says when the Mishnah uses the word negeya, it actually means oil. Says the Gemara, we could see so from another Mishnah, Masech to Olas. Amar Rav Avin Vitamer Rav Yosef Bar Avin, Af Anami Tanina. The Mishnah says, a negeya b'chatzi meis, if somebody is touching a half a kazayis of meis, and at the same time, mal achatzi zayis, with one hand he's touching a mace, and with the other hand he's making an oil over a mace. Oil chatzis ayis mal olav, as we learned before, tumas oil could be in one of two. It could be if you are on top of the mace, or the mace is on top of you. In that case, tamei. The two acts
will combine. So the Gemara makes its point. If we'll say that Nageya, Tumas Magam, and Tumas Oil are in the same category of Tumah, so now we could understand why, even though it was two separate situations, they could be Mitzdarev. The Shemachim Mitzdarev. Eli Amitre Shemeinenu, if we're going to say that Tumas Magam and Tumas Oil are totally two different types of Tumah, Mi Mitzdarev, can they combine? Vatanan, the Mishnah Masechta Olos teaches us, Zaklal. This is the rule. Kosher Mishem Echad, when the two Tumas are from the same category, then even though it's a Chatzik Zayas and a Chatzik Zayas, the Aloch is the Mitzdarif, the Tameh. But when there's Shnei Shemus, the Tor. Elamai, says the Gemara, what are you trying to say? That Tumas Oil and Tumas Maga, a Chat Shema, are one category, and therefore, because they're one category, they combine. Ask the Gemara Amos Seifel if that's the case. Let's continue learning the Mishnah. Ava and the Geba Chatzi Mazayis, if you're touching a Chatzi Kazayis of a mace, Vedova Achamalov Val Chatzi Kazayis, and then you're under the same roof as a Chatzi Kazayis of mace, Tor. Because this is Tumas Maga and this is Tumas Oil. But ask the Gemara if we just finished establishing the Chat Shmahu, the Tumas Mag and Tumas Oil, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is one category Tumah. So then the question is, am I Tor? Why don't they combine? Ella, says the Gemara, so you're saying that when it's two different types of Tumah, they can't combine. If that's the case, so yes, you're able to understand the Sefer of the Mishnah, but the question now is, how do we understand the ratio? Would the ratio of the Mishnah clearly spoke about these two different types of Tumah and said that these two different types of Tumah combine? Answers the Gemara. So, in other words, the Gemara's question is that we have a steer in that Mishnah between the ratio of that Mishnah and the Sefer of that Mishnah. Answers the Gemara. Amar Abzera, the way to reconcile the Mishnah is that B'tumah Ritzutza Ben Shnei Migdolim. We're going to have to explain that whenever you have something which is cramped, it's called Tumah Ritzutza. And it's not considered, as we find that the Torah says, V'yistroitzu abona bekirba by Rivka. That means that the two fetuses were cramped in the womb of Rivka, Yaakov and Esav. And we're speaking, therefore, the Rashi says, is speaking about a Tumah Ritzutza Ben Shnei Migdolim. The Tumah is cramped, the Tumah of the mace is cramped between two closets, Vein B'nei Peseich Tefach, and there is no Tefach there. That this case, the Kul and the Gihu, somebody who is in Mal over that case, that's going to be considered when, since there is no area of a Tefach, that's going to be considered not like you're mal on the mace, that it's considered like you're touching the mace. So if it's considered touching the mace, so if you are mal on a chatzi kazayis in such a fashion, and now you also were touching a mace, that's why it's going to be considered a tumah of negia. And therefore, since it's going to be considered a tumah of negia, that's why that it could be combined with another Tumas Maga. However, when you don't have this case of a cramped Tumah Ritzutza, then it's going to be Tumas Oil. And indeed, the Sefer of the Mishnah teaches us that Tumas Oil and Tumas Maga don't combine. So we say the way to understand Tumah Ritzutza is when you don't have a Tefach. There is a Machlokes Rishonim, when we measure the Tefach, doesn't mean that the less than a tefach, including the place that the mace takes up, or we don't count that mace when we count the mef. That means we need a place of a tefach to have a tumas oil. Doesn't mean that we need a tefach besides the place that the mace takes up, or you don't need that as long as the entire area is an area of a tefach, even though the mace takes up some of that spat, it's still going to be considered that you have a tefach. Rabbi Yochanan just explained that under certain circumstances, the halacha is that Tumas Maga is considered Tumas Oil. But we also just established, the Gemara looked for a source. The Gemara thought that the Mishnah Masechta Olos would be a valid source, but we now know that that isn't the case. But so now the Gemara goes back to try to identify man tana de karol oil nageya. Who is the tana that says that tumas oil and tumas maga are the same category of tama? Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yosihi. The Gemara suggests that it's Rabbi Yosi, and the Gemara explains. The Tanya, the Brisa says, Rabbi Yosi, I'm a molot talvid rekev. As we spoke about before, if you have a spoonful of dust of a mace, the halacha is matama maga b'maso b'oil. The matama, all different types of tuma, of all types of tumas mace. The shear of a molot talvid is of a spoonful is halacha mosh mesinai. Says the Marbishlam, a masa of a mile, I could understand what is tumas masa, because you're carrying that whole spoon. I could understand what is tumas oil, because you're in the same oil of the mace. Masa, hakatayin lelekule, you're carrying that entire spoon. Oil, hakamalekule, you're in the same oil or you're of top of that tarvid. Ella, nageya, ask the Gemara, why is there Tumas Mag, Rekev, Halanaga Bekule? And the way all the Mefarshim explain, that each particle of the mace, of the dust, is considered a separate particle. Since every particle is considered a separate particle, you're not touching all of the particles. So why is there Tumas Maga? Halanaga Bekula, Alav Shmamina. What do we say from here? Ma negeya. What did Rabbi Yossi mean when he said the word negeya? He meant mal. And what he meant to say is that when the Gemara, the Chazal, used the word negeya, they could be meaning mal. Says the Gemara, even if we want to suggest that that's possible, but that can't be pshat in what Rabbi Yossi said. Because let's learn what Rabbi Yossi says. For katani negeya, for katani mal. If when he said negeya, he meant mal, so why did he say negeya mal? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya. That could be reconciled. Amar Abaya, negeya in the Braisa, negeya that Rabbi Yossi says in the Braisa is speaking about mal. But there's a difference when it's lamata metefach. If there's the hand is within the tefach of the mace, that type of oil is called negeya. And when there's lamalame tefach, when there's more of a tefach between the mace and the person's hand, that's in the category of oil greater. It's called oil of greater. So in other words, the Gemara is saying that there are two categories of tumas oil. There's tumas oil negia, where there's less than a tefach between the hand and the mace, and there's tumas oil greater, with regular oil where there's more than a tefach. Rav Amma, says the Gemara, Rava gives a different way to explain if that Tumas Maga that's referred to in that Braisa really means Tumas Oil. So why is there this repetition? Rava Amar Filamala Nami Oil Negiya Nikri. That even doesn't make a difference if there's a Tefach or less than a Tefach. It's always going to be called Oil Negiya. So if that's the case, we're back to where we started. What's the difference between the Tumas Maga and the Tumas Oil that's mentioned in that Mishnah? Says the Gemara, Vehechidama oil greater. What is the case of where it's just oil and not Tumas Maga oil? Bam Shocha. If we, when the person and the Tuma are in the same room, but not that the person is the hand is directly on top of the Tuma, or vice versa, the mace is directly on top of the person. So we could have two types of situations, explains the Gemara. Where the person is directly on top of the mace, or vice versa, the mace is directly on top of the person, that's going to be considered a situation of Tumas Oil Maga, because there's such a close proximity of the mace and the Tuma. However, where it's a situation that there's Tumas Oil, and we know that Tumas Oil is also achieved by being in the same oil HaMace, there halacha is that it can't be considered Tumas Maga oil, because there's no, the mace is not on top of the person, or vice versa, the person is not directly on top of the mace. But what we do have in that situation, is Tumas oil. And that's what Rabbi Yossi meant to say, that you can have Tumas Maga oil when they're directly on top of each other, and then you can have Tumas oil where in this where they are in the same room. Amarova. How do I say that even in a case Rav is teaching us that there's more than a tefach between the mace and the person. It's still considered tumas maga oil, the tanan. The Braisa teaches us, Rav Yossi Omer chavili mita. The way they used to make beds in those days is that they had a frame, and then they had straps, leather straps that were woven that the person that was the bed. Or srige chalonis, or we have gates of a window, and the gates of a window again have bars with spaces between the bar, and somebody put them on as the roof of a house, that they should be there on a permanent basis. Since they were made into a roof, so they were made into the roof, and they serve as a chatzitza between the two floors. Even the spaces that are between the bars of the gate or between the strips on the bed, since they're considered closed, even if there's a big space of a tefach between these bars, because even though therefore somebody is on top of those holes, he won't be tummy. However, if you didn't have it this way, but rather what you did was you took this bed or this gate or person are playing mace ba'aver, where they're not considered a case of a roof, they just spread out over the mace. The aloch is at the gate, kenegin and nekev. The place that's over the, if you touch an area that's over the hole, you tummy. Shloike kenegin and nekev, because there's room for the tumma to be kava oiler to go up. If it's not, but you put your hand not where there is a hole, then the aloch will be your, put your hand not over the hole, then you'll be tar. There is a question in the Rishonim. If a room has this type of a ceiling, will that be considered a room that there's tumas oil in? But now the Gemara explains that in the case of parson ba'avir, you tame. Ask the Gemara hechidami, exactly what is the case that we are referring to? Ilay melamata mitafach, if we're going to speak that they're right on top of a mace, less than a tefach from the mace. So the question is, shloi kenegin and nekev, we said if you're not on top of the hole, you're tar. Ask them, why is that? Meis b'ksusahu, since there's such close proximity between this cover and the mace, it's no different than a mace that's buried in clothing. And the halacha is meis b'ksusay tamei, that mace gives off tuma. So why would this be any different? Ella, lav, what must we be saying? They were speaking about a case lamala mitafach. And still, even though this is on top of the mace, more than a tafach, still kakarla in the geya. So that's the proof that when we speak about this type of tuma, there is no difference if there's a tafach or not. Amabaya, to which Abaya says, la'olam lamata mitafach. We're going to explain that they're speaking specifically where there's less than a tafach. Ask the Gemara or the Kamrit Meis B'Ksusahu, but then you asked if there's less than a tefach, that should be considered like the mace is just buried in his clothing. Answer the Gemara, it's not the same. B'Ksusah Mevatalei, when a mace is in his own clothing, so the clothing become part of the mace, and therefore the clothing have the din of a mace. Here, they're not really clothing, and therefore, Lo Mevatalei, and therefore the circumstances of how they spread out over the mace make a very big difference. Says the Gemara, but if the Bryce is speaking about a case where the strips, or the leather strips or the bars are less than a tefach away from the mace, that we know, we said many times in our shir, that when you have a mace buried and there's nothing, there's less than a tefach between the mace and what covers it, the halacha is pekas for oilam. So if we're saying that there's less a tefach between what's on top of the mace and the mace, so then the tumah should go up because of the halacha, but when you have less than a tefach, it goes up. Answers the Gemara, sov Rabbi Yossi, and therefore the halacha should be that it's always going to give off tumah, whatever on top of it. Answers the Gemara, Ksavah Rabbi Yossi, tuma, this halacha of tuma tamuna, if there's less than a tefach, it ain't a bekas, it doesn't go over. And therefore, the chavolim could serve as a chatzitza on top of the mace, even if there's less than a tefach from the mace to them.